Hi guys, welcome to the first podcast called Bear Your Soul with Oguhle Nkosi. Bear Your Soul podcast, first episode, and I am excited. I have a author and hypnotherapist with me today. Please welcome Udesre. You just reminded me how we actually have met before, and I kept saying no, we haven't.
Yeah, I saw that you were trying to act brand new, and I'm just like, this girl try to show me flames.
But see, that's how God works, because notice how we met then, I really did not pay attention.
Yeah.
But girl, una something, and now yeah. I've paid attention.
No, absolutely. But I also think it's like a full circle moment, because back then, Vele, I think I wasn't this girl.
Aha.
The person that I am today and the person that I was when we first met are two different people. Mm. So perhaps the vibes were not vibing back then, you know?
Finally, I meet someone who speaks like me. I say that all the time. Mm. Who I was back then and who I am now are two different people. So if you know me from high school, no, you don't know me. And stop calling me your friend.
You know that girl.
Like, yeah, oh yeah, you know that version. True. That's why I even changed my name to Oguhle, no longer Tando, because it's a whole new identity shift.
Mm.
Please tell the viewers about you. Who is Desiree and how you got into your job? Because I love the hypnotherapy parts.
All right, so my name is Desiree Matlala. I am a clinical hypnotherapist and a rapid transformational practitioner. So hypnosis and rapid transformational therapy are kind of not one in the same thing per se. Rapid transformational therapy combines hypnosis with cognitive behavioral therapy, with neuro-linguistics programming, and some neuroplasticity.
Okay.
So it's a hybrid therapy, right? Because if you look at traditional hypnosis, it's just about putting you in a hypnotic state and giving your mind positive suggestions, right?
Okay.
But now, the issues that we face are from real-life lived experiences. So if I just put into your subconscious and I say, you are great, you are beautiful, you are confident, but you've never felt confident because you were bullied a lot. Ooh. You've never felt confident because even umamako could never compliment you.
Yes.
You're going to experience a lot of resistance as you receive that information. Why? Because your real life lived experience is going to say, no, but that's not true.
Mm.
Remember how your mom kept saying you're ugly?
Yes, how I'm fat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You understand?
I'm too tall.
Mm. Right. So now with rapid transformational therapy, because we understand that you didn't just wake up lacking confidence or depressed or anxious. These things were caused by real life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
The first step, instead of me just giving you those positive suggestions, the first step is to help you discover how did you get to where you are in the very first place.
Mm.
So helping you discover this root cause of the wound, the root cause of the problem.
Okay.
You see.
Okay.
And then dealing with that, healing that wound, you see. Now, when you heal that wound, you are getting rid of what would have caused the resistance. Hmm. Then when I actually give you those positive suggestions and I say, you know, just because Usara in grade one said you were ugly doesn't mean that you are ugly. But now you've gotten to see the pain of your inner child with the eye of the adult that you are now today.
Hmm.
I know you are a pastor's child and in the Bible, it says, when I was a child, I used to think and act like a child.
Yes.
Now that I'm an adult, you know, I need to, you know,
think. Like an adult.
Exactly.
Think, yes.
Right. So this is what it means to kind of renew that mind. Because most of us, we are walking around as adults, but we are responding like our wounded inner child.
You know? I feel that. Yeah. And then does that include shadow working?
This is pretty much shadow work.
Okay, so it is shadow work.
It is.
Because I've heard the name, I talk about it as if, because I briefly understand it, but you are breaking it down, okay?
Yeah. So dealing with your shadows, dealing with your inner child, healing your wounded inner child, healing your past traumas, that's all one and the same thing. It's just like, you know, saying Oguhle, saying Tando, saying, you know, Bonono, if other people called you that, as an example.
Question.
Sure.
Can you be in your 30s or 40s, but be seeing life as a 16-year-old because that is where trauma happened?
Yes. You can be a 60-year-old seeing life as a 5-year-old.
Hey, bo.
Because that's where your trauma happened. Of course, this won't be in all aspects, okay, right? It'll be in around the areas of your life where you kind of experience that trauma,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, I get people that come to me, a person is 60, and they're saying, you know what, I'm struggling with depression. I have been taking antidepressants for the longest of time. You know, I'm just tired of feeling numb and not being able to kind of respond to life because I'm now on these pills. But when I'm not on these pills, I'm just overly sad. I don't know why. Mm. I just want to cry all the time. I don't know why, right?
Mm.
But these things come from somewhere. So then I put the person in hypnosis. We do some regression therapy. I help them pinpoint what is the cause of this pain.
Okay.
And now, you know, the mind already knows what it wants to purge, what it wants to heal. So those things come out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll be an experience of, let's say, perhaps verbal abuse at home, or it'll be physical abuse sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it can even go as deep as sexual abuse. I come across a lot of people that are still carrying around remnants of sexual abuse that happened when they were little, mm-hmm, you know, when they were 4 or 5. I think you saw a video the other day that I posted.
Of the gay guy.
Yes.
Yeah, saying effects of trauma. What if I'm this because of trauma?
Right. Now, interesting enough, if you remember that video, I spoke about how there was a person,
mm-hmm,
who wanted to obviously become like now transgender and everything.
Okay.
And their family member, like their parents were like, okay, you know what? We love you and we want the best for you and we're never going to tell you how to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to go so far as going through surgery and whatsoever, we want to know, like, you know, can we book you a session with a hypnotherapist? So I studied from Marissa P. I think I told you. So this gentleman, his family booked a session with Marissa P.
Okay.
And in that session, this gentleman remembered, you know, kind of being sexually abused by his peers at a very young age. Like preschool age, like grade 1, grade 2 vibes. And it happened like several times over the years. So then he kept thinking, why are they doing this to me and not other kids?
Clearly means
what's
I'm a girl.
So different about me? It means that I'm not a boy. Mm. Maybe I'm a girl.
Yes.
And that's where it kind of started. And now when you say it to someone, it sounds too simplistic, right? But imagine, go back to who you were when you were 4 and 5.
Okay.
And think about your reasoning capacity at the age of 4 and 5.
I can't remember 4 and 5, so that's why I need you. Then you take us to right. 4 and 5.
But I'm saying, think about, like, you've got children in your family that are 4 and 5. You can see how they reason.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when you're 4 and 5 and you're going through something like that, you don't know how to process it. Your mind doesn't know to say, Uti, this person is wrong. You know, they were not supposed to do that. And often, I mean, think about it. When you're a child, you only know wrong when somebody tells you it's wrong. In the absence of that, it is normal.
Yeah.
That's why it can happen for years that umtana is being molested by a family member, but because nobody ever talks about it,
they keep quiet.
They keep quiet. Umalume buys chocolates and, you know, so they think, I'm getting sweets, I'm getting chocolate, I'm getting special treatment.
Yeah.
Surely this is probably fine. Even though it feels a little bit sus, but I'm sure maybe I'm just making a big deal out of nothing.
Mm.
Because you are 4, you're 5. What do you know? What life experience do you know?
Mm.
Besides what you're being shown.
I want you to take me through the hypnosis.
Okay.
Because I'm under a trance, apparently. Now, Injan, like, how does it feel? Is it okay? In my head, I'm thinking, why are you putting me under? And are you going to take control? Are you going to take my will away from me? Then you have my will.
So I think that's the one fear that a lot of people have. And I think it comes from, you know, all the stage hypnotherapists that were used to make people bark like dogs and hop around like frogs on the stage and stuff. But hypnosis is a very natural state.
Okay.
A lot of my clients, I always tell them, don't expect to feel hypnotized because it doesn't really feel like much.
Oh, so I'm not going to be sleeping and then by talking?
No, like... It's almost like, you know, you've been in a situation where you've like watched a movie, right? And the movie has been so interesting that you're like completely consumed in it.
All right.
And then somebody walks in the room and they walk out and then you only realize after they left that somebody must have been here. You've had that experience. Kind of what hypnosis is like. So it gives you that intense focus. It's a deep inward focus. So if I'm hypnotizing you now, you'll still be able, I mean, you're still aware that we are here.
Okay.
You'll still obviously be able to hear my voice because that's what's directing you.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll feel like you are like completely relaxed. And the craziest part is that you'll remember things that you didn't even think you still had in your mind.
Mm. I need it because I've blocked out a lot of things.
Yeah.
Trauma has happened. I blocked out a lot. I am scared of hypnotherapy because I don't even know how it feels like to really relax like that. To really get into a deep relaxation, that freaks me out.
Well, I mean, I could do a 5-minute hypnosis with you now.
I'm just saying, okay, if I'm scared with irrelaxation, maybe that's why I can't smoke weed. Like, I get crazy.
Yeah.
So now,
have you tried it before?
Yeah, a lot. Weed?
Yeah.
Ooh. But then I get paranoid. I get paranoid. Okay. I start seeing things. Then I'm like, is it my spirit fighting with my mind? I don't know if there's such a thing.
Look, I mean, I must say, since I became a therapist, I'm learning a lot more about, like, I think we all kind of respond differently to different things.
Okay.
You know? There are people that have... I mean, I must say, yeah, there are people that will say, no, I smoke weed and I'm fine. And, you know, there are people that will say, I smoke weed, it makes me anxious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, they'll say it makes me creative. Some people, they'll say it makes me sleep better, you know. So I'm coming to the realization that, yes, it does affect us all differently.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all got to do with kind of what we think and what we believe. And also, I think a lot of it is also, you know, the fact that very little of these products are kind of regulated at this point in time anyway.
Okay.
So most people don't really know what they're taking in, you know.
Okay.
Because I've also come across instances of cannabis-induced psychosis.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Woo. Oh, you're not liking it?
It's intense because, you know, I think socially people have made weed kind of look like a recreational. It's safe. You will be fine. You know, people smoke it for decades. Abo Snoop Dogg, nah, but they've been at it for 50 years, you know. And so it kind of has created that general perception that, no, you'll be fine.
Okay.
But we don't all take the same way to things.
Yes.
And we don't know what makes us acceptable to some things and more than other people, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of trying to figure out a lot about what makes one person's acceptable to that and another person not.
Okay.
You know, does it have to do with past trauma? Does it not? You know, does it have to do with a lot of stress that a person is facing? Does it not? So I'm also kind of doing my own research, learning a little bit about that. But I'm understanding that, you know, the best way to live is just to be free.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Free from anything, you know?
That's true.
Marissa Pierre has a saying where she says, drugs are for people that cannot cope with life.
Ooh.
And life is for people that cannot cope with drugs.
Mm.
And when I first heard it, I was just like, wow, like it was so triggering for me. But after doing a lot of healing, I understand exactly what she means.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
I understand what it's like to kind of show up fully as myself and not need to lean on a glass of wine or whatever to feel like I can connect, to feel like I can, you know, you know, be myself and meet people and communicate and build a community, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera, you see.
The more I'm doing self-finding, this whole journey, it's the more I don't need also abo wine and all these things.
Yeah.
And that's the nice part. So you're right. Mm. I met Marissa Pia through abo YouTube on my law of attraction journey.
Mm.
And then she also came in there and have been subscribed and know her work, follow her podcast, do all those things, right?
Mm.
So when you called yourself something that she calls herself, like hypnotherapist, I was like, how did a black girl get into this? So how did you, you know, find hypnotherapy and then get yourself in it?
So it was, I actually believe that I was called to become a hypnotherapist. I believe that, you know, when they say umuntu's got the calling, we always think indumba, we always think, you know, you must.
Two things.
Yeah, you must either become a prophet or you must, you know. But for me, what I was struggling with, anxiety and panic attacks. But the thing is, I had been living with anxiety for a very long time, right? It wasn't even a thing. Like, I never even used to speak to people about it. It was just, like, something that I knew. And, yeah, I used to be able to cope with it, or at least I think I used to be able to cope with it.
Okay.
I think I used to self-medicate a lot with, like, you know, alcohol and whatever the case may be, right? And then COVID came.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to be in the telemarketing industry.
Okay.
You know, I used to work on the phones, sales, retentions, that sort of thing. So in COVID, I was working particularly in retentions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your job is to keep clients on the books at that point. It's COVID. Everyone is losing their jobs. People are like, babes, I don't have money. I don't have food, you know? And I'm just like, sure. So now it becomes harder to kind of keep people on the books. But now you've got a target to maintain. I mean, this is, you know, you're not at home. You're at work. Hello.
Yes.
You got to maintain, you know, your job requirements.
Mm.
So it became tougher and tougher for me to kind of keep up with my target. I went from being one of the top performers to literally being bottom of the food chain. And I remember being called in by my manager and she's like, dude, like if you can't make it, if you can't improve your numbers, we're going to have a difficult conversation. And here I am thinking, am I going to lose my job in coronavirus?
My word.
COVID-19.
Yeah.
Yo. So, and she's like, and I remember we're sitting in that meeting. She's like, Desiree, this is just a mentality thing.
Mm.
Because some people are doing better. Some people are doing worse. Some people are doing the same. I mean, in that moment, literally, I could hear my ego just kind of crack and die a very sad death. Because I was sitting and thinking, I'm one of the top performers. I've just been awarded last year. What do you mean?
Yeah.
How am I doing worse when other people are doing better? You know, I don't get it. Like when every second person I'm speaking to has been retrenched and, you know, they're burying this family member and this person didn't have a funeral cover and now they're seeing flames. Like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And she's like, wow, you're going to have to sort out your mentality. Otherwise, it is what it is. Hey. So now it's getting real, girl.
It is.
It is getting super intense. So it's COVID. I can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I go on the internet and I search and I'm like, I have to sort out this mentality. You know, I'm on that law of attraction manifestation. Mm. I'm just like running through the internet looking for the holy grail to kind of solve my problem.
Yeah.
And the more I looked, I came across Marissa Pia.
Okay.
And she's explaining rapid transformational therapy. And I'm like, you know, because I've always been interested in human behavior, in psychology, in the mind, in manifestation, and law of attraction. Mm. When I heard what rapid transformational therapy does, the science just made sense for me.
Okay.
So then I figured, okay, I have to try this. This looks like the only thing that can help me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because they had given me like a 30-day time frame to kind of pick up my numbers. So I look for a therapist in my area. I struggle to find one. I eventually find one. She's like, I can't see you. I'm only going to see you in 6 months. I'm like, girl, in 6 months, I might not have a job. What you trying to say, you know? So I keep looking, I don't find anyone. Eventually, what happens is that, you know, obviously, as you keep searching the same thing, I think the algorithm begins to algorithm.
Mm, it does.
And then I came across a post or like a advert of registering for the course to become a rapid transformational therapist.
Okay.
So desperate for a solution, I'm like, I'm going to register. Maybe I can go into 1, 2, 3 classes and then maybe something will click. Surely, surely I'll understand, right? I register. As soon as I register, I go in. So obviously there's like rigorous process. They have to test, you know, aptitude test, whatever. See, like, are you the right fit?
Mm-hmm.
All of that comes and goes. I make it through. I get in. And as soon as I get in, but by this time, I'm also doing a lot on myself as well, just to try and kind of help. You know, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock. I'm doing Joe Dispenza meditations for like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am like,
yeah, you are
fighting.
In. I'm a good Joe Dispenza. You are in.
I'm fighting, yeah. Chief. You know, I'm fighting tooth and nail to make sure that I don't lose my job. You know,
all of this just so that you don't lose your job. So yeah. I'm fixing my mind so that every other thing can align.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And also, I mean, by then, you must, if you know, I mean, our mutual connect was also like an ex-business partner of ours.
Okay.
So we had also recently closed the restaurant. So there was also a lot of that drama. So a lot was like riding on this job at the time. So I'm like, okay, sharp, I have to just fix my mind, right? Okay. I get into the course. As soon as I get in, they put me on the Facebook group. I meet a couple of people. One of the people I met was a recent graduate who was starting her business, and she was looking for people to kind of have testimonials on her website, and she was offering discounts, free sessions here and there. And I put my hand up, and she helped me with a session.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting in that session, shame that lady, she's got such a nice, sweet, squeaky voice.
Yeah.
I was sitting in that hypnosis session and I'm like, oh my goodness, this stuff is not working. And another part of my mind is just like, just respect this lady. I mean, she's all the way from Ohio. Mm. Here you guys are navigating time zones. It's an awkward time for her. Like, you know, just begazela, just go through it, you know? Okay, sharp. She hypnotizes me. You know, I remember a couple of memories. To me, it feels like, how's this relevant, right? How's my anxiety of today linked to like when I was 1.5 years old, you know?
Okay.
Like, because I'm remembering things from then, but I'm just like, man. Like, this is not
How sure are you that you are remembering, or is the mind playing a trick on you?
Look, it's not like you're sure that you're remembering, because these are things that you know.
Okay.
Right? Like, if I can tell you the first memory that I had when she put me in hypnosis, I remembered I must have been a couple of months old, man. Like, you know, at the stage where you're crawling.
Okay.
And I remember I had just woken up from sleep and I'm crawling. But where I'm crawling, so my grandmother's house back in the day, my grandmother is used to stay in Limpopo.
Okay.
So it's on the edge of a mountain, right? So it's got like, steps, but they're like huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had crawled out of the house and I'm by the steps, right? Now her dog is kind of noticing that this one is going to fall and pretty much hurt us. Mm. So the dog is standing there and it's barking at me.
Okay.
Right, so I'm freaking out
because
here's this, and I'm like, I'm tiny. This dog is like this gigantic thing looking like a lion.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually my grandmother turns the corner and she finds me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember, a couple of other incidents came up. So for me, what I learned is that it almost like anxiety had become a survival mechanism.
Yes.
That like whenever I'm going through a lot that I don't know how to navigate, when I'm anxious, I kind of am able to figure out a solution.
Hmm.
But now that solution worked back then in those kind of situations. Now if I'm anxious and I'm on the phone and I'm panicking, that's not going to help me because I need to reason. Mm. I need to objection handle. So, you know, to solve my problems using anxiety was effective when I had a gigantic dog in front of me and I was like a year and a half old, you know. Uh-huh. But now I'm like 30-something.
Got you.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So it's like, okay, you have to unlearn this method and learn a new method.
Yes.
You know, of kind of solving your problems, of coping with issues or whatever the case may be.
And here we are thinking babies can't remember the traumatic stuff that happens to them.
The things that I hear when I'm in hypnosis. Wow. The things that I hear when, you know, I've had clients tell me, I remember another client said to me, she remembers her parents kind of fighting about the fact that, like, she was supposed to be a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I can see I'm in a little bassinet.
Okay.
And she's like, but I can't move. At this point, I'm feeling like I want to go because I'm not feeling loved. I'm not feeling valued.
No.
So the only thing I do is that I just cry because I can't get up. But I mean, for those of you guys that are watching that are moms, you know that at like 5 months, they already say, start talking to your child
yes.
when they're in the stomach because that your child can hear.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And
so, that's the subconscious mind, right? That they're yes. operating on. Yeah.
Yes. So, because your conscious mind only develops from 7.
Yeah.
So these are memories that they're taking in.
So
there's another story that was like a case study when I was studying. This gentleman grew up in a country where there was like lots of war.
Okay.
Right. But the family moved to the UK sometime, you know, running away from the war.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman meets a lady who is in an orchestra and she's a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Fall head over heels in love. But brothers can't support my sister because whenever she's playing the yes. drums, he gets triggered.
Okay.
He feels like he needs to run away. Like he doesn't even understand. Like he's just, he gets so anxious. Like he wants to, like he feels like his life is in danger.
Wow.
So now every time, okay, you say you love me, but you can't even come to my performances. What kind is this?
Because you're not supporting
Hello?
Me.
Hello.
Yeah.
You know? All right, sharp. So the lady suggests, why don't you get help? Again, this gentleman goes to see Marissa Peer. Marissa Peer hypnotizes this guy and he remembers being in his mother's womb and hearing a loud drum-like noise. Now, Marissa Peer's like, okay, but what's happening? So he doesn't have much information because, of course, you are in the womb. Like, what are you going to know? What are you see? You can't see anything. And Marissa Peer says, go find out, because at least 2 of the scenes that he remembered in hypnosis were whilst he was still in his mother's womb. And then one when he was like very young.
Okay.
Okay, no problem. Then when he went to go ask his mom what happened while the mother was pregnant with him, the mother says, you know, there were a couple of occasions where, you know, the rebel troops would come in and they would beat up your dad and I would hide in the cupboard and, you know, I would be so scared. My heart would be pounding. You know, I would always be thinking, my life is going to end. And you know how they always say, women, don't be so stressed when you're pregnant.
Yes.
You know, your baby can feel everything. These things transfer.
Real.
And they become real life memories.
Wow.
And it was from that situation that he was able to learn that at that point, he was in danger whenever he heard that noise. So he learned to associate a drum. Because, of course, the heartbeat feels like a drum when you're inside water in the womb.
Yeah.
So whenever he heard a drum sound, to him it signaled danger. Because the number one role of your mind is to protect you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So if you've gone through anything that has left you in pain or has threatened your safety, your mind is always going to find a way to make sure that that never happens. Sure. Whether you like it or not. Whether you are conscious, whether you are deliberate about it or not. So that's why sometimes you find people responding to situations in ways that just don't make sense.
The mind protects us.
Yeah.
So is that where sometimes you limit yourself because you're scared?
Yes.
That, they're not going to like me, so let me rather not do it. Then the mind says, well, don't do it. And then you come across as lazy.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Because the mind is trying to protect me.
Right. I remember there was, reminding me of a video that I saw on TikTok.
Okay.
It was Thibaut Touch. She was coming back from a school concert or whatever. And, you know, he says it was a choir concert. The children were singing. They were singing horribly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, they come back and, you know, his son is like, Daddy, how was that? You know? And then he's like, no, you know, that was horrible. You guys were horrible. And then he's like, ladies and gentlemen, you know, some of you guys are raising children that are just not good enough. Bloody, bloody, blah. And he's like, he's so adamant. He's like, you have to tell your children now, like when they're young, that they're not good so that, you know, they don't get bullied in the street. In my head, I'm just like, that makes no sense, right? But for him, I get where he's coming from because he's not a mental health expert. Okay. He's just a dad, right? Okay. So he's probably just thinking, I'm going to protect my child from being bullied out there. But he's doing it by bullying the son in the house, which makes no sense.
Right.
If the son perhaps has a dream of becoming the biggest singer and he's got the capability and now his dad says, no, that was completely horrible.
That was crap, yes.
Then it's just like, okay, sharp, you're closing the door to his dreams right there and then. Because that leaves an imprint and an impression on the subconscious mind.
Okay.
Whenever he wants to try something, he's always going to remember, my dad saying I'm not good enough. So if my dad can't like me, how are strangers going to like me?
Can this then also transfer to all other things?
Yes.
So it won't only be on stage, even to be an accountant. What if I'm not good
enough?
Everything.
You know, we grow up in situations where sometimes our parents kind of try and use negative reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which school of life would they learn that from, but it's not make sure.
It's not.
Because you kind of try and break a person down to build them
up. To build them, yes.
It makes no sense. Like, why don't you just build them?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, think about it. If you were actually building like a wall, does it make sense to break it down every time and build it up? No, just keep building. It'll go higher. You know, your efforts will reach even greater heights if you just keep building.
Sure. I have a question before we go to the book. Religious people, whether it's people of faith or people of religion, right? And they want to try hypnotherapy. Does it interfere with the spiritual part or not? Or you just coming for the mind and you're not touching my spirit?
Look, one thing for sure is that your mind is kind of the gateway to everything, right? I think if I remember correctly, they say the spirit is a combination of your mind, your willpower, and what? You can help me there?
Your soul? Lord, I don't know.
Anywhere there. But the most important thing is that until your mind is clear and you've got direction, all of these things will feel like they're contradicting each other.
Okay.
Right? I've come to realize that when it comes to religion, when it comes to psychology, when it comes to spirituality, these things are kind of interlinked.
Okay.
You know, the lines, there isn't clear lines between the one and the other.
Okay.
So that's why the same thing that you get taught in church will get reiterated in science, will get reiterated
philosophy,
in psychology.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So oftentimes it's almost like these were different ways that we were trying to kind of achieve the same goal.
100%.
With limited resources and knowledge and research, bloody, bloody, blah. You see, like, now I can tell you that your subconscious mind does X, Y, and Z. You know, in the church, they'll say you've got a stronghold, you know. In the spiritual world, they'll say unalisnyama.
Yeah.
Do you understand? But like it's all one in the same thing. It's just you've got a limiting belief.
Yeah. Njal.
You know? And I mean, I do believe that the Bible itself says the kingdom of God is within us.
Mm.
And it's so weird that...
And then Paul...
They call this the temple.
Yeah. Right? And then Paul appears to renew it. Yes. Mustn't be conformed to this, what you see.
You must be transformed by the renewal of the mind.
And transforming is not once.
No.
Every year. Every... Yeah. Like...
Continuous.
I think the reason why I'm asking that, it's because I'm thinking when I'm in that trance...
Yeah.
What then is happening, you know?
Yeah.
I hope I'm not... Hence, I said, giving you my will. Because I know God wants... It's a free will. And it belongs to me.
Yes.
So I don't want... Even in church, I speak against it. I don't want to give Gomfundis to my will.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anyone, you know? And even though you'll be helping me, you can't have my will. I must do whatever I want to do with it. You can come with your laws.
I think also God understands that we're not born into a perfect world.
Okay.
Right? You come into the world, you are 3 years old, umalume starts to fondle you.
Mm.
Long before you are able to exercise your will, long before you're able to know what's right and wrong, long before you are able to just be.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So already by the time you are 7, 10, you've got that tainted wound.
Yeah.
You've got that thing inside of you that is already holding you back. You've got that pain that you don't even know where it comes from. You've got anger. Do you understand?
Mm.
And I wonder about, hi, lomtana vele unjalo. You know, they're just angry.
Mm.
Can't you know? It's things that happened, you know, behind closed doors.
Before I could even say yes.
Before you could even make a choice. So now your subconscious mind had to make the choice to kind of keep you alive, you know, to keep you safe. You suppressed that and you became angry and you became violent. And, you know, you just, we see these children that are done. It's just like whenever you touch them, you know, and you're like, but how is a child not soft? How is a, you know, children come into this world as a blank canvas. Your mind comes clear.
True.
Do you understand? So everything we know is because of the environment that we grow up in, the people that raise us, the neighborhoods that we grow up in, the influences around us.
Mm.
So do I have a choice, Mina Uguchi? My uncle is a drunk and every day we are skakela and, you know, I'm just, you know, this is just my reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I have a choice, Uguchi Mklape? I grew up in a dysfunctional household. I don't.
You don't.
You understand? So those things impact the way I see life.
Okay.
They even impact what I believe Unkulunkulu can do for me.
They do.
You understand?
Mm.
Like I'm here living in a shack, for example. Nobody in my family has ever had money. I'm just like,
How will I make it?
Do you understand what I'm saying? So when I put you in hypnosis and I show you that, it's not to say that you don't have the capacity or the capability to become the best version of yourself.
Mm.
It's just that you grew up in environments that taught you that this is the fullness of life that you've ever experienced.
Mm.
And now you have created a glass ceiling, not because you wanted to, but because this was already the glass ceiling when you got there. So is it wrong to put you in hypnosis and make you aware of the fullness of your capabilities, of what God really said you should do? No, absolutely not.
Then you can see the royal priesthood.
Do you understand?
My word.
Then you can say, you know what? Actually, I'm able to... My job is perhaps to say, Sharp, I've grown up in this kind of a background and I see that, you know, people like me then don't amount to much. Mm. And it's because of our background. But I've been able to get the healing. I've been able to see that I can become better. So I can take this and plow back.
Sure.
I think that's doing God's work.
I love the fact that I'm sitting with greatness over here because I was hypnotizing myself clearly alone, but now God's like, no, hlangana nabo, you know, the great people. Tell me about your book so that more people can buy it. I've ordered it on Takealot.
Yes.
The author part, tell us about your book.
All right, so the star behind the trauma.
Okay.
It's basically all about discovering the greatness that you have within. We all have the potential to become the best version of ourselves. We all have the capacity and the capability to learn something new, become something better, reinvent ourselves, right? But oftentimes the pains that we have gone through kind of suppress that thing. You know, it suppresses that light, it suppresses that fire, it suppresses that wanting to become more.
True.
Because you're thinking, what if it doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if I fail? What if?
Yeah.
But once you heal that pain, you are able to see that, you know, it's almost like everything is energy.
Mm.
So as you heal that pain, you're kind of transmuting it.
Okay.
And you go from being suppressed by it to being kind of uplifted by it, being able to see that I've been able to make it despite all the stuff that I've gone through. No, Shoguti, man, I'm somebody, man.
Yes.
Shoguti, I'm capable. I've got the things that make the parts, you know?
Okay.
So the star behind the trauma is really just about to say there is greatness within every single one of us.
Hmm.
All you have to do is take the first step, be willing to heal the pain.
Yeah.
Because up until you heal, it's never going to happen. Nothing changes until we change.
Wow.
For things to get better, you must get better.
Ibi, where is God's grace? Even though I'm broken, but you can, you know, bless me with millions.
Well, I mean, let's look at these people that win the lottery and then they blow it. There's God's grace. God blesses you, but you don't have the capacity to hold on to it because you don't even pay. So it's, you only are when society says so. Some club, you know, you've got 15 million, so you have to now. Yeah, what's that? You probably saw another episode of Bati Umuntu was praying like inyama 20,000 for the whole community. Like,
my word.
I mean, I get that you're giving back, but now it's like, now it's not really giving, it's showing off. Because abantu will never believe ukuthi mina nginayo imillion until I do such things. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
Whereas a person that has become a millionaire by improving their mindset, they would never do those kind of things.
I don't have to prove my worth, guys.
If anything, you don't want people to know.
To know, yeah.
Do you understand? True. You'll still walk around rocking your same clothes, driving your same car.
Really?
You know, you'll take your money, invest it, low investor corner, buy whatever assets, buy whatever businesses.
Travel and not post about it.
Exactly.
Mm. Wow.
So
your book is saying, Guti, Ikona, that thing that is inside of you,
yes,
it is there.
Yeah.
When you were a baby and your fist was still intact, that purpose that is within there, I can bring it out.
Yes.
But you also need to come to the party.
Absolutely.
You also have to want the healing.
Absolutely.
To do the work.
Absolutely.
A lot of people, but doing the work is tough.
Yeah, of course. If
Pozama's
it was easy, hello, I mean, we'd all be millionaires.
That is true.
Doing the work is tough. It's not easy. It's not easy to heal. It's not easy to look at the things that were designed to crush you and say, never me. And say, it's fine. Umalume did this. It doesn't mean that I'm always going to be this person that was oppressed in this way. You know? So healing is possible, healing is available.
Yes.
And it's only once we heal that we are able to see that we all have the capacity to be, do, and have whatever we want.
Yes.
You know? But for you to have the things that you want, you have to become that person. You know, you have to invest in yourself. You have to appreciate yourself, you know, in more ways than one. You know, love yourself, see yourself, see your own worth. And then you'll be able to say, okay, cool, you know what? Now I can be a doctor, Mos. It doesn't mean go to a medicine singena sine 15 only or 16. I can go in at 27, at 30.
Yeah, when I decide, I can go in. You know, Desiree, I want you to, like, we have to have more conversations.
Sure, absolutely.
Especially because you understand trauma.
Yes.
You understand the mind.
Yes.
I'm into that. I'm into the mind and the limitations and et cetera and et cetera. You are the person, like, it's not the first time you're coming here. Like, you understand? It's not the first. Yes, I believe you're going to have a lot of clients that might take you away from me. However, there will be those times where I need to come back. Because all the time when I'm recording content, you know, trying to ignite the spirit and also renew the mind, saying, but it's how you think, it's how you think. Only with you, when you just, as you're another mouthpiece, and you're making it seem even more possible.
Yeah.
So if that is the seed, our words, that is the seed that is around on the internet, at least there's that one person who'll say, okay, let me follow. Maybe something will ignite. Because also with Abo Marissa, Abo Joe Dispenza, and all the other people that we probably have the same algorithm, we first heard.
Yeah.
And the more we heard, the more that word was active. The more we heard, we're like, let me see. Then the mind transformed. Then you changed. It wasn't one podcast, I today have changed.
Yeah, really.
It's more sessions.
Absolutely.
Because I do have questions. I think I'm so glad, like, I didn't even open. I was like, hey, man, funa in flow. There are a lot of questions, and because Abantu sometimes there are doubts. Because we want healing by spin the seat out. You're like, no, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What if? And also, what if I'm a control freak and I can't let you in? So you need to be like, girl, shut up. Just do you want to heal? Do you want to be more confident? Because I also heard that hypnotherapy can help with weight loss.
Yes.
Can help with anxiety, depression.
Yes.
Depression, where a lot of people are struggling with that.
Hey.
I get calls, I'm asking a life coach, and I have to coach people out of about depression. I'm like, wow, okay, this is hectic. You can help with that also.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot that... that with rapid transformational therapy, I'm able to help people with, you know, fears, phobias, anxiety, depression, limiting beliefs. Sure. I mean, the list is endless. Autoimmune diseases even.
Okay.
Pain management. I mean, I can go on and on.
Love it.
It's about understanding that, you know, the mind is part and parcel of who we are and how we are. And understanding that, you know, for you to, as I said earlier, for you to become better, you know, you have to kind of change. You have to heal and look for the source of the pain. And, you know, there's another book that I was kind of going through a bit, and it says the body keeps score.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people are carrying around illnesses that didn't start because of like a physical problem. It manifested because of, you know, mental issues that they had been carrying for a long time. Pains and traumas, you know. You know, if you look at the reason why rapid transformational therapy works so well is because it goes straight to the root of the problem. The problems that we face are not issues of logic.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know, if it was a, even a person, I can tell you that in Klape, I grew up in an abusive household. You know, my dad used to hit me my entire life. Or my mom used to hit me my entire life. Knowing that is not enough to heal them from the depression that they're facing as a result of that pain. Do you understand? Because it's not a logical problem.
Yeah.
It's a subconscious problem.
Yes.
So the pain has left an imprint and an impression on your subconscious mind.
Yeah.
And every time you're triggered, you go back to that incident where Umama was holding a shambok or whatever the case may be. So you have to go back to that memory. You have to go back to that imprint and look at that incident with the eye of the adult that you are today. Realize, you know what? When I was 7, 10, 11, however old. But I'm not there anymore. I'm free now. Yes, it affected me, but it doesn't have to anymore. In fact, having gone through it makes me able to kind of suss out these kind of individuals much earlier. So I'd never even be caught in the same space with these kind of people anyway.
True.
Right? and being able to see that freeze a person, you know, then you're able to say, okay, yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I can let it go.
That's the part where I say, then hug that 9-year-old girl.
Yes.
Hug that 7-year-old.
Yes.
And umbambe uti tanokuhle, you will never. Yes. You will never
you
be in that situation.
Now.
Yes.
You are safe.
Because
now.
Then you can also eliminate people that look down on you and say, makama no boy, you know, hairy words, like disrespectful words.
Yes.
Then you get like, okay, I'm not gonna go there because I know how they're gonna treat me. You
yes.
then start as an adult, you protect, you remember
yes.
how they made you feel.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah. You have to, you know, healing your inner child also does involve becoming the loving parent to yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Telling yourself those words that you would have liked to have heard from your mother.
And I am saying them with
yeah.
my mouth. Okay.
Yeah.
Affirmations.
But
okay.
is that unlike your the words of your mother, mm. you know, that'll say, oh, mtanami, you're so smart. When you say this to yourself, there's no ulterior motive.
Yeah.
So it's easier to believe it. But it becomes easier to believe it once you've healed those wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because prior to you healing those wounds, it just bounces off.
Hmm.
Because the lived experiences are saying otherwise. Okay?
Mm. No wonder sometimes I can speak into someone's life and speak life.
Mm.
But literally it's like saying, like pouring water on a duck's back. You know, it does not stick. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
why? Can't you know? Our subconscious is still holding on to another
yes.
trauma. When all what you're saying is sticking to logic, is not going in deeper.
Mm. That's why people can say, wow, that sounds so profound. That's why people can...
And it's true. And
it
still become
profound.
The same
right.
people.
I always
sure.
say, like, what's that book? Think and Grow Rich has sold 12 million copies.
Mm.
But it has not made 12 million
millionaires. 100%.
Right. Why? Because it's got all the tools.
Mm.
Right. But it's because it goes in here and it doesn't go through to the back.
Oh, that is true. I went to an Achievers conference last year, met this lovely lady, blah, blah, blah. And when I was there, because how I got the invite was just, you know, God.
Mm.
And I was there and I said to myself, this is the last time I am attending an Achievers conference and there's nothing I am achieving. Like, I had to tell my mind. That's when I was like, oh, okay, now you're ready.
Mm.
All along, you go to, you know, the tabernacle, you go into the church, you go into the mosque, you go into these places, I'm a conference.
Mm.
You're sitting with entrepreneurs, millionaires.
Mm.
Oh, you come out the same. Marupuma, oh, yes. Oh, I'm full. Monday, back to zero, yeah. watching TV.
Because also...
eating unhealthy, not walking, not doing anything.
We operate from the subconscious mind 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Now, the subconscious mind is like a set of programs. You know, when you wake up, you don't have to think about how you brush your teeth, how you wash, how you lotion.
You literally just do
You've
it.
You've done these things
yeah.
so many times, right? So you already have a subconscious program for it. So your conscious mind doesn't even have to enter anyway. So we already know how to go through the day without not really being present.
Mm.
You understand? Now, for you to change, in the words of Dr. Joe Dispenza, for you to change, you have to think about what you've been thinking about and change it.
And change it.
But now it's tough because 95% of the time you're on autopilot.
Come on.
You know, that's why hypnosis works so well because mm-hmm. then we solve the problem and then we embed into your autopilot the new program.
Yes.
You see.
Come on.
Then instead of you 95% of the time self-sabotaging because that's what you've done for 10 years, we've healed the wound that causes a self-sabotage. Now we are instilling the new program that says, you've got what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely love starting your new business, working on it, doing this.
And you're excited and you have the
right.
energy so you can do it.
Right.
Hey.
So it comes then. So even when you slip into your subconscious mind, there's a new program that's running that's not like the old one.
Okay.
Mm.
I am so happy. First episode of Bare Soul podcast with Ogutle Nkosi with uDesiree. Hey guys, more episodes will be coming, more transformational foods. I love the English. That is. Tell us, where can you find you and where can people find you? Then we'll write your handles below.
All right. So my email address, bookings@bestlifecatalyst.com.
Okay.
My website is www.bestlifecatalyst.com. And I'm on social media, probably mostly on TikTok.
Okay.
I've got a Facebook and an Instagram, but I hardly ever go there really. But the best place to find me, if you just Google Best Life Catalyst,
mm-hmm.
you will find me. You know, you'll find my website, you'll find my Google business profile, you'll find my numbers, you'll find, reach out to me. The numbers that are on there, guys, strictly for business. I mean, I love you guys, you're all great people. But I'm here to heal.
True. People,
you know, I don't yeah. want double show, sweetie. My sweetness. Hey. No, thanks. I'm sweet. I appreciate it. But I'm here to help people become better versions of themselves. I'm here to help you heal, become the best version of yourself. Mm. And yeah, that's what I'm the best life catalyst.
Yeah. Mm. You and a life coach. Oh no, it's not the same thing. Nah, it's not. Whenever you put us under a chance. I was saying, can you do what a life coach does?
Yes, I can do what a life coach does. However, instead of coaching you and kind of